Well, in this video, we're going to dive deep into the six main obstacles hindering your growth. And if you're ready to break those limitations and tap into your full potential, then make sure you watch this video and stick to the end, because I'm going to provide you with a system that's going to help you endure any resistance in your life. But what sparked this video was a quote that I just posted maybe an hour ago, which says this: most of the issues we face are not demonic. They stem from a lack of discipline. Demons sit back and watch our lack of discipline torment us. That's why you feel more spiritual warfare when you start to be more disciplined, because they know that when you become disciplined, they'll be defeated and less entertained. And as I was kind of chewing through that quote, it really sparked and spawned a list of thoughts that really pushed me, leading by the Holy Spirit, to do this video to equip you all against the resistance that may occur when you're trying to grow. Now, I have a problem that I want to give you that is prevalent in a lot of believers' lives, and it may be in yours. And the problem that I wrote is this: many people have no warfare strategy. Many believers, many people have no warfare strategy. They are constantly halted by resistance. Unfortunately, for a lot of believers, many people have no warfare strategy and therefore are halted by any form of resistance. So this video is going to more so focus on the staying persistent through the resistance as a believer, as you're growing spiritually, as you're growing relationally, as you're growing professionally. Because if you have no warfare strategy, then my friend, you're going to lose in areas where you may desire to win. Now, I wrote a few things that I want to give you, and then I'm going to talk about the six main hindrances or resistances that are on the path of the believer's endeavor to grow. The first thing I wrote is demons bring resistance as you pursue growth by exploiting areas of weaknesses and vulnerabilities. They aim to create obstacles that hinder progress, causing doubt, fear, and confusion. This resistance often manifests as internal struggles, negative thoughts, or external challenges that divert focus and drain energy. Demons seek to disrupt peace and stability, making it essential to remain vigilant, rely on spiritual strength, and resist their tactics through prayer, faith, and perseverance. So demons bring resistance as you pursue growth because they're threatened by your growth. A lot of believers are excited and they're enthused and they're ready to grow spiritually, to grow their prayer life, to grow in reading their word, to grow in their marriage, to grow in their business. But because they lack a warfare strategy, they now begin to be halted, stunted, or stagnated by resistance. And that's why demons, they don't pay too much energy or time to people who lack discipline. But this is for the people in the room now. They're saying, Coach, I want to get better. I want to do better. I want to be spiritually mature. And this video is here to bring warning and strategy with that. But it says demons bring resistance as you pursue growth by doing these two things. They exploit areas of weakness and vulnerability. That's why when you're endeavoring to grow, you are immediately prompted with unworthiness, or you're immediately hit with a sin you did 5 years ago, or you're immediately hit with a weakness in your personality trait, or they exploit your vulnerabilities. They begin to show you, well, you know, you're vulnerable here, or you don't have it all together here, or you don't have what they have. So they begin to bombard your mind with resistances, exploiting your areas of weakness and vulnerability. It says they aim to create obstacles that hinder progress, causing doubt, fear, and confusion. So they create obstacles. They create obstacles and opportunities that they know have a high probability of destroying you. So an obstacle can be a altercation at the job, or an obstacle can be in anything that is developed directly against an area that you're not fortified, that your mind is not renewed about. So they create these obstacles that immediately cause doubt. So for instance, you'll be met with the obstacle that's bigger than you, but not bigger than God. But because you don't know how big God is, then you begin to fall into doubt, because now you perceive what the obstacle is being bigger than God. Also causing fear. Any area of growth is going to bring you into a place of where you're not familiar. And whenever you're not familiar, that's when fear grows. Also, it says it causes confusion. Negative thoughts or external challenges that divert focus and drain energy. It's hard to grow without focus and without energy. It is going to be very difficult, my friends, for you to grow in your marriage, with your children, in your business, pursuing whatever you're pursuing, if you lack focus and energy. That's why I want you to think of an obstacle in your life right now that is doing those two things. And my friend, there you go. That's the device that's been set against you. What is that obstacle that's diverting your focus? That family matter, that thing that don't really matter, the issues and areas of your life that's just trying to jump into your focus. That right there, my friend, is a device that's aimed to stagnate you and to hinder your growth. Also, it says to dilute, not only to divert energy, but to drain or dilute your energy. It is hard to grow without vitality. It's hard to grow without energy. And so I'm just laying a foundation here to kind of help you guys better understand. It says demons seek to disrupt peace and stability, making it essential to remain vigilant, rely on spiritual strength, and resist their tactics through prayer, faith, and perseverance. So as you're pursuing spiritual growth, as you're pursuing relational growth, while as you're pursuing professional growth, all founded on God being glorified, expect resistance. That's why it says here, demons seek to disrupt peace. They know when a believer is in a state of peace, there's nothing that can come against that individual. And stability, making it essential to remain vigilant. So having peace and stability are essential pieces for you and I to remain vigilant through resistance, to rely on spiritual strength that is cultivated through prayer, and resist their tactics. Now, let's talk about why demons do not bring resistance to those who lack discipline. Demons bring no resistance to a person who lacks discipline. So a lot of people think that, oh, it's the devil coming against me. No, it's not demons. It's your lack of discipline. Like I said in the quote, demons sit back, because demons don't like to waste energy. Demons don't like to do a lot of work. They're very efficient and effective at what they do. They don't like to waste energy. They don't like to waste time. So what they do is they create cycles in one's life that derives from childhood trauma, that derives from habitual sin, that derives from lack of discipline. And when those areas are prevalent in a person's life, then they just watch the cycle turn. That's why a lot of people, like we said before, those people who are trying to pray more, aiming to read the word more, they're hit with resistance. And then when they hit real resistance, it causes most believers and most people to say, you know what? I'm just going to acquiesce to what's less instead of a sin to what's best. Because when I was down here in my sin, when I was out here in these cycles, when I was doing these things, I didn't face all of this resistance. My friend, it's just a tactic. But demons bring no resistance to a person who lacks discipline, allowing the natural consequences of their actions to become sources of torment. They don't bring no resistance. They just allow the cycles to torment you. Without discipline, individuals are more prone to making poor decisions, neglecting responsibilities, and falling into destructive patterns. So demons know, hey, you're going to end up in these places because you lack discipline. When a believer lacks discipline, they begin to fall into poor decisions, which then creates consequences, or neglect their responsibilities in their marriage, in their children's life, which then creates even more tormenting cycles down the road, cycles of regret mentally because you wasn't there for your family, different things that torment and bombard. So demons know that when you are not disciplined, then you're going to naturally create cycles and create consequences in your life that will do the work for them. See, demons love to hire cycles, internal and external, to do work for them. And also falling into destructive patterns. Demons capitalize on these vulnerabilities by amplifying the resulting chaos, stress, and unhappiness in their lives. Rather than directly opposing them, demons allow the natural course of events to inflict suffering, leading individuals to confront the consequence of their undisciplined behavior. So powerful. I'm going to read that last sentence again, so layered. Rather than directly opposing them, demons are not in front of you opposing you if you lack discipline. They're behind you pushing you or allowing the natural pull of your sinful desires and the weight of the consequence to draw you into deeper depths of demonic control and influence. It says, rather than directly opposing them, demons allow the natural course of events to inflict suffering, the natural course. So imagine if you reverse that and you begin to go down the divine course and what that will inflict in your life. It says, allowing the natural course of events to inflict suffering, leading individuals to confront the consequences of their undisciplined behavior. Now, let's talk about why demons fear personal growth and why they love to oppose and bring resistance to those who are endeavoring to grow spiritually, relationally, and professionally. Demons fear personal growth because it diminishes their influence and power over individuals. Personal growth involves developing discipline, self-awareness, and spiritual strength, which enable individuals to resist demonic influence and overcome their schemes. That's where God wants us to be. As individuals grow, or as you grow spiritually and emotionally, you will become less susceptible to the tactics of demons, making it harder for them to manipulate and control your life. Ultimately, personal growth empowers us to break free from demonic oppression and live in alignment with our true purpose and identity in Christ. So demons don't want you to personally grow. That's why you hit hard in the beginning. Demons don't hit hard in the middle or try to hit hard in the in other spaces. They want to hit hard in the beginning so that you can acquiesce to what's less. They know, hey, I'm going to hit you hard. Stop reading. Stop praying. Oh, God don't hear you. Oh, you know that sin you did 2 weeks ago? That disqualifies you as a child of God. They hit you hard so that you'll be like, you know, what's the point? But when you are renewed mentally and you understand how demons do what they do, then you'll be able to navigate through. Give me 1 second. I forgot to add a couple of points in my thing here. Let me go ahead and add those points now about the resistance to obtaining. And here we go. Here we go. I want to add these points that I had. I didn't put it in my notes here. Let me put it here real quickly. And then I'm going to talk about and break this down. Give me 1 second. I'm going to get these notes together. So go ahead and comment what you're getting so far. An emoji that's representing that you're with me, that you're rocking. And just share that you're with me and that you're gathering some great points through this here. Now, let me add this to my notes. Boom. Good. Here we go. All right, we're back. Amen. My cousin said amen. Okay, good. We got some people rocking. All right. So I want to add this real quick before I get into those 6 things that's resisting you from winning and from personally growing. I wrote here, warfare, there's different types of warfare. Oh, Day says, hey, coach, this is right on time. I'm so glad, my sister. So there's 2 types of warfare. that I want to make sure that you understand. There's warfare against obtaining, and there's warfare against sustaining. Like we said before, the problem is many people, many believers lack a warfare strategy. And because they lack a warfare strategy, they are halted or stagnated by any form of resistance. But I want to kind of break briefly down real quickly the difference between warfare obtaining and warfare sustaining. I wrote, warfare to obtain growth involves confronting and overcoming obstacles, challenges, and resistance that hinder progress and development. This includes spiritual warfare against demonic forces, personal struggles, external barriers, or any form of opposition that prevents the start of growth. It requires perseverance, resilience, and a proactive approach to break through barriers and achieve desired goals. So warfare is that you're going to have demonic resistance against the start of and the obtaining of. So right now, I want you to write down in the chat if you want to, or write down a sheet of paper. What is it that you want to obtain? What is it that you want to obtain in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, in the next year, or the next 5 years? What are some of the things that you want to obtain? Let me see if anybody wants to put in the chat. If not, then I want you to write that on a sheet of paper. What are some of the things that you want to obtain? Let's give some people some time just in case they want to. If you're watching this later, go ahead and post in the chat, not in the chat, but post in the comment section. What is it that you want to obtain? I'm going to wait about 15, 20 seconds, see if anybody posts anything, and I'm going to go into some more breakdown of this. Some of the things that people may want to obtain, I want to obtain a marriage one day. I want to obtain children. A thriving family. I want to obtain multi-million dollars in my business. I want to, my cousin says she wants to obtain wisdom to continue to flow financially in peace, grow in my reading. Those are great things. There are going to be resistance against that, if not felt already. Because think about it. I also want you to write down, you got to write this in the chat, cuz, or anyone else, but I want you to write down what threat will this obtaining be to the demonic kingdom? What threat will this be to the demonic kingdom? The generational curses in your life, the demons that are ensuring that demonic curse goes through. Kiara says intimacy with God. Yep, that's good, my sister. And those things are obtainable, but would be hard to obtain without a warfare strategy. Let's go back to wisdom to continue to flow financially. So now I want you to think about, because what would be a threat, or why would demons be threatened by you obtaining that? And Kiara, what would demons be threatened by if you obtain deep depths of intimacy with God? Just going with my cousin, what she said about flowing financially. They know that if you break the poverty cycle in your family, and you begin to create a wealthy family from you, then in your family lineage, there would not be any type of poverty devices that can destroy your family. Then when your kids get a certain age, they won't have to start over. Demons are threatened by financial stability, financial literacy, and financial inheritance. They're threatened by that because poverty is one of the main devices devils use to hinder growth. What's better, having what you need or not having what you need? See, when you have what you need and you're financially able to live life at a high level, freed from stress, then you don't have to worry about what people in poverty have to worry about, right? My cousin says, building the kingdom of God and overflow to help others. See, the demons are threatened by her building the kingdom of God. The Bible says money answers all things. The Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So if money answers all things, what happens if you don't have the thing to answer what you're facing? It causes stress. It causes anxiety. It causes so many dark emotions that hinders creativity, that hinders growth. So there are going to be warfares, strategies, and devices set against you from obtaining financial freedom, and providing the overflow to help others. And also the threat against intimacy with God. When you get intimate with God and you and God are thriving at a high level, man, there is little to anything that can really penetrate the life of that believer. So we see that there's warfare to obtain. And now we're going to talk about warfare to sustain. But let me kind of read through that paragraph again. Warfare to obtain growth involves confronting. You got to punch back. You got to retaliate in your authority in Christ. That's why your awareness and your preparedness in your authority in Christ is paramount. That's why the devil doesn't want you to study. The demons don't want you to be knowledgeable, because they know the more you know about your authority, then you will win. Now imagine you walking into a Quick Trip or a gas station, and there's a police officer or a security guard who has a badge and who has a weapon being held up by a thief that's pointing a Snicker bar at them. Imagine you just walk in and the officer's like this, sir, don't do it. No, sir, don't do it. And the guy who's got that police officer hemmed up doesn't have a gun in that officer's face, but has a Snicker bar in his face. You will be like, yo, fam, you have a badge. You have a gun. You have cuffs. Sir, what are you doing? That's how many of us as believers look. Angels think the spiritual world is looking at us, and some people who are discerning of the spiritual world is looking at your life like, yo, don't you have the badge, which is your authority? Don't you have the weapon that is able to disarm? And don't you have the cuffs to bind him? So now you got the authority, you got the weapon, you got the cuffs. You have the authority to put that thief in place, to put that demon in place. You also have the weapon to neutralize him, and you have the cuffs to bind him. But because we are completely unaware of what the bloodshed and what the exchange on the cross gave us, and because we're not knowledgeable that we have the authority, or that we have the word of God as our weapon, or we have the cuffs to bind the strong man, to bind these demons, then my friend, that's how we look. And that's why many of us are not obtaining what we want to obtain. So you have to confront that hinders progress and development. This could include spiritual warfare against demonic forces. So these are the things that on the path to obtaining. It's going to include spiritual warfare. They're going to come see you. That's why right now I do this every time I speak, and I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to show you what I do. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are to me. And thank you, Lord, for your authority you have given me in your son, Jesus. Right now, with that authority, I command every demonic spirit, every plot and scheme of the devil that's set against me as I function in this message. I counsel every type of retaliation against me as I'm doing warfare against you. Father, I turn my attention back to you. I thank you for that authority being felt and being evident. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. What that does is, while I'm doing this, and most believers don't understand that as you're personally growing, it's growing other people. So right now I'm doing this video. It would be foolish of me not to counsel the plots and schemes of the devil, because most believers are just doing God's work without expecting retaliation. They have no warfare strategy. Do you have a proactive warfare strategy? Do you have a preventative warfare strategy? Proactive warfare strategy is, I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to live consecrated. I'm going to stay committed. I'm going to counsel plots and schemes. I'm going to be preventative, meaning that I'm going to execute in my authority. You will not touch my wife. You will not touch my daughter. You will not touch my life. You will not touch my property while I'm functioning in warfare against you. You see how simple that prayer is, but how powerful that prayer is? That's why they can't touch none of my stuff. Because I'm aware of my authority, and I'm aware of my protection, and I'm aware of how powerful the word of God is. That's not to taunt them. That's foolish to go out there and be like, ooh, do, 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 you can't touch me. No, that's dumb. Because if they can touch you when you start getting in pride. So you stay humble. Okay, well, that's more strategy down the road. But you see what I'm saying? But on this path to growth, you're going to face spiritual warfare. Also, on that path to growth, it's not just demons that resisting you. It's you resisting you. You're going to face personal struggles. The old man of you is not going to want to grow. The old you is comfortable. The old you likes where it's at. Also, external barriers. So not only are you going through spiritual warfare, you're also going through personal struggles, and you got external barriers. External barriers could be what you think is racism. External barriers could be what you think is classism. External barriers can be political, whatever it is. Do you not understand, my friends, my family, that no matter what happens under the sun, it doesn't affect what's above the sun? Nothing on this planet affects the kingdom. And my friend, imagine this. An ambassador is an individual, gentleman or lady, who represents a country in another country. So if an ambassador is coming from the United States or coming from a country of quote unquote wealth and prosperity and strong military and strong resources, and they go into a country that's poor and that has a violence and whatnot, that ambassador is not worried, because they know if you touch me, all the resources of my country will come see you. There is a fear of you being near because you have the light. You are an ambassador. And just like an ambassador is not worried about finances, not worried about anything because they represent a stronger kingdom, then nothing that happens in this world affects the kingdom. God knows, or a country knows, that when I send an ambassador, that ambassador's housing is paid for, their vehicle is paid for, their food is paid for, because that individual is about the kingdom or country's business. The reason why you are lacking provision, the reason why you're lacking a level of sustainability, is because you're not operating as an ambassador and you don't even know what your purpose is. Until you know your purpose and until you know your authority, then you'll begin to see provisions at a higher level. So God is saying, you don't care. God don't care about the housing market. The kingdom of God is not impacted by the housing market. The kingdom of God ain't impacted by the economy. The kingdom of God ain't impacted by anything down here. But if you're of down here, then you're going to fear down here. But when you're of above, you can't help but rise above. And then people look at you and be like, man, how are you thriving? So there's no such thing as external barriers that can hinder you from obtaining if you're tapped into the kingdom, or any form of opposition that prevents growth. It requires perseverance, resilience, and a proactive approach to break through barriers and achieve desired goals. You have to break through barriers. Break through them. And we're going to get to some strategies in a minute. Now, here is the warfare against sustaining. Great. You obtained a marriage. Good job. You have a child. That's amazing. Your business made $1 million this month. Great. Sometimes the warfare of sustaining is greater than the warfare of obtaining at times. Let's read. Or obtaining, depends. On the other hand, sustaining growth involves maintaining and nurturing the progress and achievements made after overcoming initial obstacles. So obstacles of spiritual warfare, obstacles of personal struggles, obstacles of external barriers. Great. You pass those. Demons, the Bible talked about when Jesus was being tempted. Now, don't got time to break that down. I've did in other videos. But when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the Bible says the devil left to a more opportune time. The devil heard the conversations between Jesus and Peter when he said, on this rock, I will build my church. Then the Bible then says a little bit after that, that Peter was like, when it was time to go to Jerusalem, when it was time for Jesus to die, he was like, no. And what did Jesus say? Did he say, get behind me, Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan. Satan said, okay, I heard what you said about Peter. So if I can use Peter. So what I'm trying to say is that you and I must keep our heads on a swivel. Gideon brought 30,000 men to the water. And you can imagine these men tired from training and tired from war. Sweating, humid, hot, humid, Middle East heat. I don't think it's humid over there, but that dry Middle East heat. And they see this lake of fresh water. Gideon, as he was bringing the boys down to the water, God pulled him off to the side and said, Gideon, I want you to allow the men to go and drink. And he says, observe intently on how they respond to refreshment. Now imagine you training all day in the sun, carrying armor, walking for miles, thirsty. We don't know how long they've been walking without water, but now they come to a place of refreshing. And as the boys, imagine you thirsty, most of us will go right into the water without no regard and begin drinking. God began to show Gideon, the men that bow and drink the water is not fit for war. But the ones that brings the water to themselves and keeps watch, those are the men. Now, 30,000 went to 300. The harvest is ripe, the labors are few. What that story was saying was most people, most of us, put myself in there because I'm not going to advertise that I've made it. I have to keep my head on swivel as well. But what happens when you obtain it? You got the marriage. Most people, like those men in Gideon's army, they bowed down and was distracted. And if you're distracted, while distracted, something subtracted. Most of us, when you finally obtain the marriage, you get comfortable. You finally have the child, you get comfortable. You finally made $1 million in your business, $5 million, $10 million, you get comfortable. You and I cannot afford to be comfortable, even in comfortable living. Because the warfare I went through to get married was light in comparison to warfare we had to face in our marriage. Oh, the warfare to having to make a child was not close than the warfare we had to go through in having a child and having a child here. But thank God these light afflictions, which are only but for a moment, cannot compare. But many people, they get comfortable when they obtain. Listen, everybody who owns a house, owns a car, owns anything knows that most expensive things in our lives have maintenance cost. And most people do not have the warfare strategies to sustain. You have to pray harder when you get it, when you have it. Having kids is great, but now that's when the prayer starts. Early, let them pray that they seek the Lord early and protection, like sustaining. Some of us, we don't bring, God don't mind you enjoying life, but keep your head on a swivel. I tell my athletes, I said, what happens when you in the paint and your head ain't on a swivel and you didn't listen to what coach said, man, ball, and basket? You know how it is when you get deep in the paint. They said, when, depending on where you are in the zone, depending on where you are in the defense, you got to get deep in the paint. They say, put one hand out here, ball, man, basket. So now you are aware of three things. You are aware of where the ball is, you are aware where their goal is, and you're aware of where your man is. And what happens when you don't have your head on a swivel, man, ball, and basket? What happens? You get set up to get dunked on. If you only focus on the ball and you're not aware of where the basket is and the ball goes up. Now, because you don't know where the ball is going, you don't know if it's a jump shot or alley-oop. Now you posterize, placed on the walls throughout the Hell's corridor, saying, "We got him. We dunked on him. We destroyed his marriage. We embarrassed him." You got to always know where the ball is. You got to always know where their goal is and where your goal is. You got to know where your man is. If not, my friend, you're going to get punched on. So it takes warfare strategy to sustain growth. On the other hand, sustaining growth involves maintaining and nurturing. Maintaining. Are you maintaining your marriage? Are you nurturing your marriage? Are you maintaining your singleness? Are you nurturing your singleness? Are you maintaining your children? Are you nurturing your children? If you're not maintaining, if you're not nurturing, then you're opening doors for warfare to come through loopholes within your life to destroy you. I have to cover my wife and daughter because they're, listen, let me tell you something. Demons look for the weakest links. At any given moment, I could be the weakest link. At any given moment, my wife could be the weakest link. At any given moment, our daughter could be. At any given moment, our family. Demons look for the weakest links. Because he knows, do you know, the reason why I safeguard them in prayer? Because they're the number one people that the demons could really impact me by. So I protect them in prayer. I protect myself in prayer. Also says involves maintaining and nurturing the progress and achievements made through overcoming obstacles. I want you to also to write down the things you have obtained. Go ahead and write those things. We had some people that shared the things they want to obtain. Now I want you to write down the things you have accomplished, that you have obtained, that needs maintenance. Some of y'all said, "I've obtained marriage. I'm married. I have kids." Great. Now, do you have systems to maintain and nurture them? Think about that. Let's keep going. It requires consistency, discipline, and ongoing effort to prevent regression. If you're not progressing, you're digressing. If you're not progressing, you're regressing or backsliding. It requires consistency and discipline. So whatever it is, you got to write up under that the disciplines and the consistencies required, or it will become expired. If you don't do what's required, it will become expired. Every day, got to hug my wife. Every day, don't matter. She likes hugs, man. Learned that. She likes touch. She likes to be close. She likes for when I listen. My daughter, like, she likes to play. Like, bro, I got to pay that bill. I got to pay that maintenance bill. You got to pay that maintenance bill with your husband. You know what I mean? You got to pay that maintenance bill with your wife. You got to pay that maintenance bill with your kids, because if you don't pay that bill, it's going to compound and you ain't going to have enough to. And then the demons are going to say, "We have enough to." And they'll use a boy to holler at your daughter. And because you didn't pay that bill with your daughter, now this dude has enough to pay for her attention. If you don't pay attention to what it is, and it mounts up to where you are not mature enough or disciplined enough or developed enough, then the devil will bring somebody else that will pay for their attention. Demons love when you're in debt and they have enough to pay that debt demonically. Because the way they pay debt, they pay a delusional debt. So now that person who, because you didn't pay that bill as a father, and because you didn't pay that bill as a mother, and because you was farther away and not a father, or you was a smotherer and not a mother, then all of a sudden now when it's time to pay that bill, you don't have it. And now you got to sit back and watch a demon pay for that bill. And now all of a sudden now they're going down demonic thrills and now they're done. Maintenance. Sustaining growth. Preventing regression. Like, is your marriage progressing or digressing? Nobody's marriage, nobody's family, nobody's life is at a standstill. No, you're either conforming or you're transforming. You're either progressing or you're digressing. Nobody's at a standstill. And some of us were backsliding, slipping backwards. Why slip back? Why slip back? Why slip down backwards? Why go back down a hill that took you years to climb? I don't got time to backslide. It took me a long time to get to this mountaintop. Now I'm going to slip, and now I got to climb this mountain again? You must be out your mind. That's what I learned. Nah, bro, I ain't about to climb up something I already climbed. Off of backsliding? Monique said, come on, Coach Josh, bring it. Preaching. Kiara says, needed this years ago. These demons have been, yeah, man, they've been paying your debts delusionally. Okay. Sustaining growth involves establishing healthy habits, maintaining spiritual discipline. It takes work, family. You don't get all this at the altar. You don't get all this. Some of this developed at home. And most churches don't preach this. That's why it's no coincidence that many people are not winning, you know? Maintaining spiritual disciplines and continually seeking growth opportunities to ensure long-term progress and develop. Do you have a spiritual warfare strategy for long-term success? We're talking about your kids. While obtaining growth focuses on overcoming barriers to initiate progress, sustaining growth focuses on maintaining and building upon that progress over time. Now, let's get to the six things. Six hindrances, six resistances that hits the believer, that hits an individual who is endeavoring to personally grow. I have three that come from the demonic. Three that comes from devils, three that comes from the depths of our souls. First three is going to be resistance deployed by demons. Number one, distractions. That's the number one thing or the top three things they use to ensure that you don't progress, and that's distractions. Demons often use distractions to divert our focus from God's purposes. Notice I put purposes and plans for our lives. They may tempt us with worldly pleasures, trivial concerns, or negative influences to hinder our spiritual growth and effectiveness in serving God. Wow, that's layered. Let's read it again. Demons often use distractions to divert our focus from God's purposes. Now, demons understand that everything God created has an original intent or has an original purpose. The reason why he doesn't want us focused on multi-purposes or multiple purposes is because he knows that a lot of people will discover at times or at stages, the purposes of things. There's a lot of entrepreneurs who understand the purpose of money. They understand the purposes and principles of businesses and growing them and scaling them, but they don't understand the purpose of being a husband. They don't understand the purpose of being a wife. They know how to scale a business, but they don't know how to scale a family, right? And so now the devil has diverted their focus from scaling their family to solely scaling their business, but they think that their business is scaling their family, but their business only scales their family one-dimensionally. Yes, you got them in private school. Yes, she got a 2024 Lexus. Yes, you got all this money and success, but my friend, you're not emotionally there. You're not a spiritual priest over your home. Your kid gets sick. You don't know how to pray it off of them. Your kid needs you to be there. You don't know how to be emotionally there. Your wife needs to talk. You don't have active listening skills. So a lot of people, they understand the purpose of one thing, but they don't understand the purpose of all things. That's why I believe that your success is depending on how you function in every area of your life. What profits a man or woman if they gain the whole world but lose their soul? What profited Kobe to play for 20 years and only have 2 years with this child and then die? What profits will LeBron if he says, hey, in order to be great, you have to sacrifice your kids or sacrifice your loved ones? What profits him when now all of a sudden you get to a place and you're distant? I don't know these people's family states, but that's not greatness. God's form of greatness is holistic. God's form of greatness is your children, your family. The first thing I ask my high-level entrepreneurs that want coaching from me to help their business, to help their life, I ask them, where are you in your family's life? The Bible says he will not answer the prayers of a man who doesn't honor his wife. That's a biblical principle. So the devil wants you to be distracted. That's why the systems of this world is designed for you to work long hours and have leftovers for your family. It was designed that way. That's why you cannot scale and do business the world's way. Because if you do it the world's way, you're going to end up finding out that you lost your family. You lost your main support. The people you do business with won't support you like your family was designed to. What about your walk with God? He wants you to be so focused on developing a strong church, to build a big church, to build a big ministry, but you and God ain't talked in a while. All you go to your Bible for is to develop sermons, but you don't go to the Bible to develop closeness with God. Been guilty of that. So I'm not speaking down, I'm speaking with you. He wants us distracted from God's purposes. What does it mean to be a parent? What does it mean to be a husband? What does it mean to be a wife? What does it mean to be a minister? What does it mean to be an entrepreneur? What does it mean from God's vantage point? Demons often use distractions to divert our focus from God's purposes and plans. In every purpose, God has a plan, meaning that God's purpose for all marriages are general. They're the same, but the plans of a marriage can be different. See, my wife and I's marriage is more of a global impact marriage. So there's different plans for our marriage than a family who was designed to help their local church and to be local and communal. That's different. So I cannot sit there and try to adopt the plans of their marriage if their plans don't match God's plans for our marriage. A lot of people are looking for plans from other people, but yeah, the purposes are the same. To be loving, to be kind, to submit, to sacrifice, to train up, to stay close to God. The purposes are the same, but the plans may be different. The plans to fulfill that purpose can be different. So the devil wants you to be distracted from God's plan, because how else can you find the plans of God? The only way you can find the plans of God is through the old school ancient techniques, which is prayer, fasting, and reading. And if you don't do those three things, my friend, good luck on finding the plans of God for your life. It says they may tempt us with worldly pleasures. They will tempt. See, the Bible says when a man or woman is tempted, they're tempted when they're drawn away by their own lust. So now you got to look at the lust in your heart. Lust is an overbearing desire for something. So the devil uses your natural desire. This is how the devil draws you. Through distractions. Number one, they investigate your desires. They investigate what you naturally desire. See, there's general desires and then there's specific desires. So you can write in the comments, what are the general desires of a man? Anybody can type them. And also, what are the natural general desires of a woman? What are some, usually 99.9% or 95% of men desire this and 95% of women desire this. So if there's any men in the chat, write that. If there's any women, what are the main things that these two groups desire? Give some time for some interaction. Let's see who's rocking with me, who's moving with me. What are some of the natural desires that typically come with men and women? Natural, raw, good desires. We're not trying to amplify them at the moment. Let's see if I can get one comment and then we'll go forward. And thank you all so much for watching. If you can go ahead and like and share this video, definitely will help this video because I know the Holy Ghost is in it, know his power in it. And these videos should be good to not just bless you, but bless someone else. There we go. So Kiara says, the natural desire, God-given desire for a woman is to be a good woman and wife. Monique says, men desire money, women desire marriage. There we go. So good. For women, they God-given desire to be a good woman. Now, give me an example of that desire being overbearing, becoming a lust. And lust don't mean sexual, it just means overbearing. A woman who wants to be a good woman, how can that desire become overbearing? And it can be not good for her or her husband or people who are around her. How can that desire become overbearing? And also for men, how can a man desiring money, which is a good desire, become overbearing? What are those consequences? Kira says, when it's all you think about and becomes an idol. There we go. So the devil knows most women desire to be a good woman and a wife. His goal now is to create circumstances or use past circumstances to create that overbearing desire for it, that it then becomes what? An idol. The focal point of your attention. So what they do with the desire, they say, you know what, let's go ahead and use a general desire of most women, blanket it, and cause it to be overbearing so that when a man gets with her, right? When a man gets with her, she will be smothering. She will be controlling. She will be insecure. She'll always be questioning whether or not she's a good wife. She'll always be. So you, now you see how that natural desire has become overbearing and becomes an idol. And that's all she thinks about. Now let's talk about a single woman. If all a single woman thinks about is becoming a wife, and not focus or use any time to think about becoming a daughter, then she won't become a good woman or wife. She won't become, let's not say good, she won't become an effective mother or wife. There are some good women who are wives, but they're not effective wives. There's a lot of good women who are mothers, but they're not effective mothers, right? And it all stems from them not taking the time to think about what it means to be a daughter. When you're a daughter of God, in that daughtership, there's mentorship that ensures you can sell any relationship. Oh, WB says, when she becomes obsessed with the thought. There we go. When she becomes obsessed with the thought and not become the thought. Oh, my goodness. She becomes obsessed with the thought, but never becomes the individual she's thinking of. Good. Kara says, a man can sacrifice everything for money and get sucked into hustle culture. That's right. There's no, God created men to be providers. It is in our God-given essence, 98%, can't say 100%, to be providers. That's in us. But when he gets into hustle culture, which I was a part of, now I get rest. I used to be the type of guy that would be out here from, I'll get average 3 to 4 hours sleep at night because I just had to make it. I had to get it soon. But underneath my heart was, I wanted to get it soon to prove to everybody who said I wouldn't. And it wasn't for God to be glorified. I might've said I want God to be glorified, but it wasn't real. And so we see how distractions, they say, okay, but the first distraction is to develop the strong desire, to develop an unrealistic desire. And then when they have excessive desire, into that excess and not what they was given to by God. And when they begin to advertise to the excessive desire, now you hooked, line, and sinking. This may tempt us with worldly pleasures, trivial concerns. Guys, I mean, why are you wasting time thinking about that? That's trivial. Or negative influence to hinder our spiritual growth and effectiveness in serving God. So we see that the number one thing deployed resistance-wise by demons are distractions. Number two, deception. Demons are masters of deception, sowing lies and false beliefs to confuse and mislead us. They may distort God's truth, twist scripture, or manipulate circumstances to create. They are masterful at this, to create doubt, confusion, and spiritual stagnation in our lives. They use deception. You have to understand you're dealing with masters. See. You're not dealing with little, you know, a new devil, a new demon. You only been on the job for 2 weeks. No, these jokers done seen your kind over the span of thousands of years. It's easy for them. This is what they do. Demons are master deception, sowing lies. Boom. Did God really say? False beliefs to confuse or mislead us. Let's keep going for time's sake. They distort God's truth. They twist the scripture. They manipulate circumstance. They have you looking at the situation as one-sided and not peeking over to see the joy of the Lord brings, not seeing the best of it. The third thing demons deploy to resist us is discouragement. Demons seek to undermine our confidence, hope, and faith in God through discouragement. They may instigate feelings of inadequacy. Hear me close. They instigate feelings of failure. They instigate feelings of despair, causing us to doubt God's promises and lose sight of his faithfulness. Whew, that's one of their biggest tactics, my friend, as you're trying to obtain or sustain personal development or growth. They want to undermine, I'm going to break this down, undermine our confidence. And how they undermine our confidence, because most people don't understand what confidence means. It means to confide in something dense, confidence. The densest, most dense, powerful, potent force of all existence is God. He's the most dense. A square centimeter of God is whatever the largest number is ever fathomable with mankind, is the most powerful. There's more power in God's square, in a square centimeter of God than in a nuclear plant. So when you're confiding in God, even if your prayer is a square minute, you confiding in God in that square minute has enough to change the world. So he undermines our confidence. He weakens in whom we confide in whom we trust. And he undermines our confidence, undermines our hope and faith in God. If he can take your confidence, faith, and hope in God, family, you're done. Destroyed by discouragement. That's a message right there. Destroyed by discouragement. How many of you have been destroyed through discouragement alone? They instigate, they talk to you. They bring people around to say certain things. They use your mama. They use your daddy. They use your friends. They use anybody who has an open door, demonically using their words to discourage. Oh, you'll never. Oh, you want to start a business? Oh, girl, nobody in my family had a business. What makes you think? Oh, son, you want to do that? Oh, son, you know now. How do you know? You never done it. You know, mama. Using people to instigate feelings of inadequacy, or your sins will cry to you. Your soul will cry to you. God doesn't love you. Why would God love you? Because you did. Because now you're comparing God's love to people's love. Because when you sin against people, they forsake you. When you mess up and accidentally hurt somebody, they forsake you. But God's like, fam, that ain't got nothing to do with me. Instigating feelings of failure. Man, listen, I love failing. I done failed in front of y'all so many times in business. I done failed so many times. Y'all ain't even noticed, probably. I love failing, not sin failing. I'm talking about failing in purpose, failing while progressing, while proceeding, right? Bro, because I learned so much. See, when you begin to have installed in your mind the very things that you can then dismantle the devil's arguments with the truth, then you'll begin to rise beyond the roof. Because then you'll be able to disarm them and keep it moving. That's why you can't wait for encouragement. You have to encourage yourself. Causing us to doubt God's promise and lose sight of it. The devil wants you to divert it, your attention from, he wants you to doubt God's promise. Because once you doubt God's promises, you won't practice the principles. If you doubt the promises of God and you don't believe in the person that promised you that, then all of a sudden you'll start practicing the principles that guarantees the promises. Listen to me. The person that makes a promise must be trustworthy in your mind, despite if they're trustworthy, whether you think it or not. The devil knows how trustworthy God is. The devil knows how faithful God is. The devil knows, these demons know how sure, solid, immutable, consistent, faithful God is. So what they do is they want you to doubt the person by never getting to know the person. Because if you know and begin to track the person's track record, it will then increase your faith in the person. And if that person is perfect and his promises are sure, then when you begin to believe in the promise made by that person, then when that person says, if you practice these principles, you will have these promises, then you will be proactive in practicing those principles. Because you know, I believe the person that promised, but the person that promised says, if I do this, then I'll have that, then you'll do it. If I as a devil can make you doubt the person and doubt that he's loving, doubt that he's kind, doubt that he loves you, doubt that he's called you, doubt that he's chosen you. If I can get him to make you doubt that person, then when the word of God says, God, I promised this, why would God promise this if this don't happen? But since we're, most of us are too lazy and we don't have no discipline, of course we don't obtain the promises. And then we blame God because we didn't reach the promises, but we didn't become a person of promise to achieve the promises that God promised. Demons seek to undermine our confidence, hope, and faith in God through discouragement. They instigate feelings of inadequacy, failure, or despair, causing us to doubt God's promise and lose sight of his faith. Every day I tell clients, and I do this all the time, every night before I go to bed, I think on the faithfulness of God for that day. There's never been a day where I've calculated all of God's faithfulness because I don't know what he kept me from. Do you know most of the blessings you'll never know? How many of us should have been dead by now? How many of us, because we was late for work, God made us late for work, made our crooked pastor with our manager, but we missed out on being in a car wreck? Every day you'll be surprised how your demons looking like that woman from Popeyes. Remember that Popeyes meme when that chicken sandwich came out and that woman was sitting outside of Popeyes on the bench looking like she was tired, like she done made like 50,000 sandwiches? That's how our angels be looking like. Man, if these folk even knew the work I had to go through to make sure they alive. I don't know how I got down that path, but we got down there. Now, here are the resistances deployed through the depths of our soul. The first three was from demons. The second three is from the depths of our soul. Number one is doubt. We're talking about what hinders progress, what hinders us from personally growing and enduring the resistance demonically. Doubt. Our souls can harbor doubts and uncertainties that hinders our personal growth. We may question our abilities, worth, or God's faithfulness, leading to indecision, fear, and reluctance to step out in faith. You see, not everything's demonic. A lot of things come from the depths of our soul. So what doubts is keeping you from coming out of that place of doubt? Our soul can harbor doubts. You don't know what you doubt until that doubt is triggered. Our souls can harbor doubts and uncertainties. That's natural. Not doubts, but to be uncertain. It's natural to be uncertain because God is always going to lead you to uncertain places. But doubt is not normal. Doubt is abnormal. Because that's how faithful God is. Doubt is so abnormal. God's like, oh, you doubt me? Fam, bro, I'm him. I'm Himothy. You know what I'm saying? And uncertain that hinders our personal growth. We may question our abilities, worth, or God's favor. So now the devil wants you or utilizes when we doubt our abilities, doubt our worth, or doubt God's faithfulness. The three things you should not doubt. Now, you can doubt your abilities if you ain't put the work in. But if you put the work in, you can't doubt your ability. But two things you cannot doubt is your worth and God's faithfulness. But that's typically the three things that leads to indecision, fear, and reluctance is having any question about our abilities, worth, and God. So early on in speaking, I used to be nervous, uncertain about speech because I would stutter. And when I stutter, because I focused on the stuttering previously, that every time I stuttered, it starts getting into my head. And while I'm speaking, it's in my head, oh, you about to stutter. Don't stutter. To the point to where I'm not able to flow. Now, when I started, I pick up and go. Like, it's like, boop, boop, boop. I started cool, keep moving. But early on, it would weigh heavy on me to speak because I was like, oh, man, I might as well not speak at all, man, because I'm not eloquent and that thing is so pure coming from that person. Oh, man, you hear them speak? Oh, that thing is so smooth. And I thought that was a standard of. But then I forgot the anointing is a standard. Don't get me, you got to be eloquent. You got to be good with words. But man, the goal was, hey, I'm not going to allow my doubt to keep my gift from coming out anointed. Let's keep going. But these three things, when we question our abilities or worth or God's faithfulness, it leads to indecision. Should I do it? Should I not do it? It leads to fear, which paralyzes, and a reluctance to step out in faith to actually become the person that's able to do and have what God desires them to have. Do you know, in order to have what God wants you to have, you got to do something you've never done before? In order to do something you've never done before, you have to become someone you never became? In order to become something you never became, you got to believe like you never believed before? In order to believe like you never believed before, you got to be aware like you've never been aware before? When you're aware of God, aware of yourself, aware of your authority, aware of your worth, then you'll believe at a higher level. And once you believe in a higher level, you'll step out and become at a higher level. And when you become at a higher level, you actually do at a higher level. And when you do at a higher level, you will have at a higher level. But you can't have that with doubt. Number two, desires. Our soul's desires, if misaligned with God's will, can become obstacles to our growth. We may prioritize worldly ambitions, material possessions, or selfish pursuits over spiritual growth and obedience to God, leading to spiritual complacency and compromise. What do you desire? Do or does your desires align with God's desire? The Bible says, delight in the Lord. They that delight themselves in the Lord, he'll give them the desires of their heart. Now, that scripture, a lot of people just think that if I like God a little bit, like if I'm cool with him, like if we cool, then he has to give me, like I got an ounce of delight, but I'm expecting a Mercedes return. I got an ounce of delight in God, but I'm expecting God to give me a Bugatti. Like I got an ounce of delight, but I'm expecting God to give me a husband that I'm not fit for, a wife that I'm not fit for. Now, that ain't how it works. Anything you delight in determines your desires within. The more you delight in God and you let delight come in, the more you delight in him, meaning that you're just in awe of and you're in love with and you're growing in companionship and friendship with him, then his light comes in, delight come in. And when the delight come in, it begins to illuminate your desires and show you that your desires are out of alignment. And then you will be repentant and humbled. And then you'll be like, God, I want to desire. It's the same desire, but desire differently. You hear what I'm saying? God doesn't want to change your desires. He wants you to change. He wants to change the way you desire it. So yeah, you desire a marriage. God put that desire in you, but he wants you to desire in proper order and in the right way. You desire children, but desire them the right way. You desire a successful business. And if it's aligned with what God wants you to have, God wants your business to be. God doesn't want your business to fail. He wants your business to succeed. But if your desires are out of alignment, then your desires will be misprioritized and not portioned or placed the right way, causing demonic stuff and carnal stuff to get in the way, disrupting it. Our soul's desires are misaligned with God's will. We have, and God's will, the word of God says, our sanctification. The more sanctified you become, the more renewed you become, the deeper depths of holiness you navigate through, the clearer your perspectives become, the more pure your practices become, and the more promised your promises become. It says, we may prioritize worldly ambitions, material possessions, or selfish pursuits over spiritual growth and obedience to God. Those two are paramount. Because I said in a previous video, maybe 20, 40 videos down, that spiritual growth grows every area. All right, let's keep going. Or selfish pursuits over spiritual growth and obedience to God, leading to spiritual complacency and compromise. Number three, discontentment is another barrier, obstacle of resistance deployed by our own souls. Discontentment. Our souls may wrestle with discontentment, longing for more or different circumstances instead of embracing God's plan for our lives. Do you know on the path of God's plan to prosperity and to promise? And hear me when I say prosperity, it's a trigger word. Prosperity is not finance only. We're talking about holistic prosperity. We're talking about everything is at an optimum level. It's at a vibrant level. It's at a prosperous level. You know, it's not diseased. It's not rotting. It's like a prospering garden or a prospering vineyard. It's just every branch is bubbling with grapes and whatnot, right? We may compare ourselves to others, covet what they have, or dwell on what we lack, leading to a lack of gratitude and satisfaction in God's provision. Discontentment is what your soul would do without a demon. Carnal desire is what your soul would do without a demon. Doubt is what your soul would do without a demon. Now, doubt is a little bit different. Well, demons use these things, but this is what our own souls do. Now, discontentment, it says our souls may wrestle with discontentment. It says longing for more or different. Those two are dangerous. When you and I begin to desire more and different than God's will and plan, those are dangerous. That right there, when you begin to cry out for more or different, it really shows that your relationship with God is poor or you're indifferent to your relationship with God. More means, God, I just want more of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying I want more, hey, but you have to have more in perspective. You can't want more if your relationship with God is poor. You can't want more. You can't have more if your relationship with God is poor. And if you do get more in relationship with God was poor, then you're going to still end up poor. Or if you want something different, imagine me waking up one day and saying, I want a different wife. That's dumb. The wife God gave me, I want something different. So that means I don't want favor. Because the wife I married has packaged within her my favor. The Bible says when a man finds a wife, notice when the Bible says when a man finds a wife, ladies, hear me. When a man finds you, you should already be a wife. And when a man finds a wife, that means that man knows what he needs to look for. So a wife is somebody who already is. A husband is someone who already is. So when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So now, man, you have to understand that a wife is a good thing. You can't lose sight of your good thing. And then now think she's a bad thing, but now when she's challenging your poor leadership or when she's challenging your walk with God, that's a good thing. Wives do good things. Because a wife is a person who's developed with the right perspectives, the right outlook to wife. That's why, man, the Bible didn't say when a man finds a knife, he finds a good thing, fellas. He says when a man finds a wife, what do you have, a knife or a wife? Do she stab, intent to harm? Just because she looks good in package, what does it mean she's a wife? And the Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtaineth favor. That's why the Bible says to men that he will not hear the prayers of a man who doesn't honor his wife. Why am I going to give you more favor if you're dishonoring the first favor? You can't manage my first favor, the first favor I gave you, how I looked out for you. Obtain his favor from the Lord. So you can't want nothing different. Like, you got to make sure you find your wife because that's what your favor's packaged in. And women have to ask themselves, what favor do I give a man? And if a woman doesn't know who she is in Christ and doesn't develop through her daughtership, then when she bored the relationship, she'll be bored of the relationship. And now the relationship is sinking from her side of the ship. So what favor do you bring a man? Will he be known out there in the gates? Do you take care of the home? Like, what favor do you give him? You want finances, but you don't want to give him favor. We may compare ourselves to others. This is what happens from our soul. Our soul naturally wants to compare. Covet what they have, focused on what they have and wish that we had it, or dwell on what we lack. How many of you all, how many of us are comparing? How many of us are coveting? How many of us are dwelling? And we're wondering why we're not progressing. leading to a lack of gratitude and satisfaction in God's provision. See, gratitude and satisfaction activates. People don't understand the power of gratitude. That's why gratitude takes you to higher altitudes. Gratitude does. Gratitude takes you to the highest altitude. Gratitude touches heaven. Gratitude and satisfaction in God and of himself activates. That's why God is pruning you to that place. God is developing you into that place where, listen, the most recent trial that I went through, God taught me, or he tested me to see, will I be grateful through the entire trial? God tested me, my gratitude, and I knew I passed the test because when it was the worst, I still was grateful. When it was the worst, I was still satisfied. Now, this is a different Josh than I used to be. What I'm saying is a principle that I've lived and seen in my own life, that when you're grateful and you're satisfied with God, none of these things move me. Are you completely satisfied with God, or do you need God and a husband? Do you need God and a wife? The only person you need is God. We need God, but want a marriage. We need God, but want children. We need God, but want a successful business. That's the difference. There's no need. There's a need want. You need God. I need God. We want. The goal is for us to get to a place where we need one time and want based upon our need being met. The Bible says he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if you haven't came through Christ Jesus, then you won't be able to see your needs met. Your need becomes met when you realize that God's the only one that can meet that need, and then he transforms your needs into wants because he knows wants are stronger than needs. Because if you want it, you'll go get it. If you need it, you'll go get it, but then you'll idolize what you need. Satisfaction is big. I don't need nothing else. God is the only thing that satisfies. Don't think there's things that satisfying, but God's the only one that satisfies. There's things that satisfying, but they can't satisfy. Because they're not high enough in the sky. Okay, I ain't gonna rhyme with that. Nah, let me put the bars down real quick. Let me see. God is the only one that can satisfy. Everything else is satisfying. Water doesn't satisfy all my needs, but it's satisfying. My wife don't satisfy all my needs, but she's satisfying. God is the only one that satisfies. Now, here are seven warfare strategies. I'm going to give you this quickly, and I'm going to do a part two video. But there was enough gems, enough insight, enough revelation that's been in this video that's enough to get you up the road. I'm going to read through these quickly. If the Lord gives me liberty to do this part two, and I'll do a part two. Seven-step warfare strategy for persisting through the resistance. I spelled the word persist, P-E-R-S-I-S-T. These are what you got to do, family. And if you got to replay this video multiple times, get it. Make sure that tomorrow it'll be available on my podcast. So if you can't watch the video over and over again, then by tomorrow or by this evening, you'll be able to listen to it over and over again. My sister said, she says, Pastor Seuss. We need some rhyme so it'll stick. That's right. That's why God called me. That's why I rhyme, man. It's natural to me. I've been rhyming since I was a kid. But it sticks. And that's just the way God uses my speech. So Pastor Seuss is funny. I like that. Persist. Number one, perspective. Hear me closely. Hear me with your spirit on this. Perspective. Shift your mindset in order to obtain and sustain personal growth and relational growth. Shift your mindset and recognize that you are engaged in spiritual warfare. Don't be dumb out here. Realize that it is a war. Shift your perspective. Get out of la la land. Nah, fam, this is warfare. Bombs are dropping on your family as we speak. Like, bro, look up in the, this is a fight. Recognize that you are engaged in a spiritual warfare, whether you're engaging or not. You engage. Either you're engaging against God or you're engaging against the devil. You are engaged. You're either losing or you're winning. Renew your mind daily through prayer, meditational scripture, and positive affirmations to align your perspective to God's truth. If you don't get your perspectives right, family, You ain't going to win. That's why perspective is number one. You got to shift your perspective. Realize, yo, what am I lacking perspective-wise? Because if you knew, fam, if you knew that there was four demons coming after your daughter right now, what would you do? You wouldn't even let a spider come near your child, but you let demons come near your children? You wouldn't even let this or that come near your whatever your dwelling place, but you let demons infestate your home? So fam, you got to shift your perspective. We are at war. What do they want from your child? How do they want to destroy your marriage? You got to think. They want to destroy your marriage. They want to destroy, utterly destroy, non-existent no more, destroy, flattened, flatlined. Shift your perspectives, fam. Realize you at war. That makes you get on your knees. That makes you pray. That makes you get in scripture because you got to protect what you have. Shifting and aligning your perspectives with God's truth. E, envision. Visualize nightly the person you will become beyond the current resistance and challenges. Keep a clear vision of your goals and aspirations to stay motivated and focused on the outcome. Envision every night. I'm not in the bedroom now, but my no matter where I lay my head, my ceiling becomes the biggest screen in the house. I envision the promise of God. I envision me walking out the promise of God. I envision things working out in my favor. I envision strategies and schemes to ensure that the devil doesn't come through the seams. Like I envision. You got to keep a clear vision of your goals and aspirations. Who do you want to become? If you have that's why I tell people to create a vision board. Create a vision board and say, okay, I got to keep this like on my phone right now. There's my vision board on my phone. So every time I open my phone, I see the vision. If you see the vision, you won't see division. If you see the vision, you won't see division. If you keep seeing the vision, you won't have to see the vision. I got you. Chazes, I think that's how you say it. Please give me if I said it wrong. R, reflect. Regularly reflect on the adjustments needed to overcome obstacles and achieve growth. Some things that worked last year may not work right now. You gotta adjust and reflect. It's okay. What can I do? Because sometimes in your life, you're going to get busy. Like you just can't. Your prayer life, like for instance, when I first started my ministry and doing all these videos, I had nothing but time to pray and fast and read. That's all I did. All right? Then 10 years from now, I can't use what I did at 19 and 20 in my life now. I can't do that right there in my life now with a whole wife and a whole daughter and a whole list of responsibilities. I got to reflect. The warfare is different now. I ain't had no wife back then. I ain't had no daughter back then. I ain't had no name back then. I had nothing. Now that I have things to protect, now I gotta think things differently now. If I'm protecting legacy and name and inheritance and family, you reflect different when you gotta protect different. We in the booth now. Set aside time for introspection and evaluation, identifying areas for improvement and making necessary change to your approach. S, P was perspective, E was envision, R was reflect. The next S or the first S is subtractions. Identify and eliminate anything hindering your progress or causing distractions. Remove negative influences, unhealthy habits, and unnecessary distractions from your life to create space for growth and productivity. So I want you to write down those things you need to subtract out of your life and why. Because subtractions leads to distractions. Distractions lead to subtractions. Next, inclusion. Invite the Holy Spirit to guide and empower you through the journey. You got to include him. The reason why we're not progressing because we're creating our own plans. The Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the purpose of the Lord that prevails. So you got to invite the Holy Spirit more because he'll renew your mind and empower you on this journey. Seek his wisdom, his discernment, because we have a wisdom. There's a carnal, there's worldly wisdom, and there's God's wisdom. There's worldly discernment, and there's God discernment. And there's worldly strength and God's strength. It says, seek his wisdom, seek his discernment, seek his strength to navigate challenges and overcome resistances, relying on his presence and leading in every step. Every step. Every step. Because there could be a scheme. That's why you got to get to a place where you trust the Holy Spirit. That when the demons set up their defense, you can read. That's why reading is important. Reading is fundamental. Not just reading the Bible, but reading the room, reading the circumstance, reading the defense. Reading is fundamental. Being able to take a step back and read, okay, boom, my wife is feeling this way. Let me read. Let me read a couple pages before this page, and let me read a couple of pages behind this page and see what I'm reading in my wife right now, what I'm reading in my marriage right now. Let me read it. Did I miss anything that I read before? Did I misread anything before? And am I or where am I trying to read to? And that will help me to read now. This high level stuff, man. But only the Holy Spirit can show you, like, the little tweak here, little tweak here, Josh. Do you know little tweaks traumatically change my marriage in the better? Little tweaks. My wife can attest. I can attest. What she tweaked in her life, tweaked in my life, what tweaked them, see what I'm saying? Kept us from tweaking, what the young people say. S, sanctification. Commit to a life of holiness. Holiness and consecration. Let me tell you, people, holiness helps, man. Holiness helps in warfare because the devil can't pull. Okay, now being holy and holiness helps in warfare. How? Knowing that you're holy because of God, set apart from Him, no matter what sin you do, no matter what mistake you made, if you know that you're not aiming to habitually sin and your viewpoint on sin is different, like you're not trying to sin, but you stumbled in sin, or you're not aware of how to exit that sin, then guilt, shame, and condemnation cannot be used against because you're made holy by God. Now you know you're His. Holiness ensures that you sustain a level of anointing, you sustain a level of consecration, you sustain a level of focus that's able to help you operate at a higher level in warfare, where your words are not hollow, but heavy. Embrace the process of sanctification, allowing God to purify your heart, mind, and actions as you strive for spiritual growth and maturity. Last but not least, thankfulness. Cultivate a heart of gratitude and maintain an attitude of thankfulness, even amidst trials and difficulties. Count your blessings daily. I tell people, when you count your blessings, I promise you, you won't have time to count your burdens. Why? If you were to count every breath you take as a blessing, literally, one, two, thank you, Lord. 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 If you did it all day, really just count your blessings as breathing, you won't even have time to count your burdens. Count your blessings daily, acknowledging God's faithfulness and provision and expressing gratitude for His goodness in every circumstance. So quickly, perspective, how that's a warfare tactic. If you see things the way God sees them, the devil cannot manipulate or deceive you. That's why perspective is a warfare strategy. Envisioning, how visualizing is a warfare strategy. When you're able to visualize the outcome, you don't have to worry about what's coming at you because you know that it's just buffering. It's just developing you. It's just a trial making you versatile. And then demons will get bored because they know, hey, you're not affected by it because you see something beyond them, above them. Right? Reflect. While reflecting is good in spiritual warfare, when it comes to progressing, is because now you know what adjustments to make. You begin to reflect on how you are as a husband. You begin to reflect on how you are as a wife. You begin to reflect on who you are in preparation to those different things. And then you will begin to adjust and grow. How subtractions help with spiritual warfare. You begin to remove the demonic devices. Do you know there are certain friends that are ticking time bombs to blow up in your life, causing confusion and distraction, keeping family too close, are going to blow up? Like, there's ticking time bomb demons that keeps these people and things close, these devices close, to keep you blocked in. And how the Holy Spirit helps with warfare is that He'll guide you in areas where your own naked mind, your own raw mind cannot see, but He can see. Sanctification means how, we already talked about that, and how thankfulness is. Thankfulness and praise and gratitude makes demons nauseous. Makes demons not. They hate. Here she go bringing God in this. The Bible says He inhabits the praise of His people. And so those are the seven warfare strategies. Like I said before, the reason why many people are not personally growing is because they don't have a warfare strategy. My friend, I just gave you seven. I would have given you a worksheet with this, but didn't have time because all I had time was to create these points. And I had to get on this video because, as you can tell, the Holy Spirit was like, do it now. But I do believe that this content is going to be reaffirming, strengthening, and helping you go forward. Now, some resources that I have that I think will be a blessing to you to aid you in this is my Mindset Mastery Program. Oh, my first book. I want to make sure I say the books first. This book, Multi-Purpose, when I was talking about purpose earlier, this book, Multi-Purpose, will help you better understand the purposes and plans of God and how to function in every purpose. Also, for those, when I got into the relationship bag in this video and I start talking about that, my latest book, my newest book, The Purpose of Relationships, is a good book to help you develop a strong relationship with God, relationship with yourself, strong relationship with your spouse or preparation for that, relationship with your children, preparation for that, or your relationship with the people that you meant to impact. So this book will help you transform into an individual that is relatable in all relationships that was sailed into your life by God. This book right here, the transformation that you're going to get from this book is that you'll better understand how God wants you to fulfill multiple purposes in your life and how you'll be able to function at a high level in every area. Also, check out my Mindset Mastery Program. If you like, coach, I'm struggling with fear of failure. I'm struggling with doubt. I'm struggling with a lot of different things that's keeping me from obtaining and sustaining. I got some people right now, you're like, coach, man, I got some mental blockers that's hindering me from obtaining what God has for me. This Mindset Mastery Program will be a blessing to you. It will help transform the way you think and will cause your mind to be an asset and not a liability. For those people who have already obtained, you got a wife, you got a husband, you have children, you have a business, it's thriving, it's successful, but you want to have the mental fortitude and wisdom and a structure, a framework of mind to be able to sustain it. So you won't overthink or underthink, but you'll properly think, and how your thinking will create a conflict resolution, how your mind will then create a generational wealth. It will help you maximize the wealth that you have. Then check out my Mindset Mastery Program. I'll post those links now. I'll just post my website. Go through it. You go to my program. I'm just going to take you right to the programs page. So you'll be able to get direct access to those programs. And I'm going to go ahead and post. She says, do it now. Thank you, my sister. I'm going to go ahead and post the link to my coaching program. And I'm going to post the link to my books as well, or my resources. Card games, 11 books, 5 card games. And of course, y'all on my YouTube channel right now. But for those on Facebook or whatever, I have a YouTube channel as well as a podcast where you can listen to these over and over again. My sister said, she said, do it now. Much needed grapes. Do it now. Also, my relationship mastery program, it starts up in June. We're going our first round of that. Our relationship mastery is basically helping you become more relatable. Our relatability is the missing link in relationships. A lot of people are not relating at a high level. And because they're not relating to themselves, relating to God, relating to their significant people in their life, or relating to their marketplace, they're suffering loss. And so the transformation of this program is you're going to go from a person that's having a hard time relating. You're going to get from a place where you have strained relationships, whether it's straining with God, straining with yourself, straining with others, to get into a place where those bonds are strengthened and strong, where you're able to take every area up, right? Because all relationships are interconnected. And so if you want that transformation where you're able to relate at a high level, where you're able to connect to your daughter better, connect to your son better, connect to your husband better, connect to your wife better, connect to yourself better, connect to God better, and seeing how connecting strong in those areas are interconnected and cause you to stay connected in a place of purpose and profiting at a high level, then relationship mastery is for you. For my high-level entrepreneurs out there, if you know of one, let them know about this. Or if you are one, if you're at a place right now where you've plateaued or you're plummeting, you've plateaued spiritually, you've plateaued relationally, you plateaued professionally, or you feel yourself plummeting spiritually, plummeting relationally, and plummeting professionally, despite your professional success, you're making millions, you're a 6-figure, 7-figure, 8-figure, 9-figure entrepreneur, and you're high successful, but you're in plateau. You know you and God can go higher. You know you and you can go higher. You know you and your family can go higher. You know you and your business can go higher. Then Fulfillment Elite is for you. It's a program designed for us to highly fulfill at a higher level, making sure that you're just not only scaling your business, because I'm going to help you with that, but you'll be able to scale your family as well. You'll be able to scale your life as well, and you'll be able to scale you and God, because the higher you go in God, the higher you'll go, the higher your family will go, and the higher your business will go, and the higher the probability of you leaving a generational wealth to your family is higher as well. So if you're an entrepreneur, entry level, and you want to learn how to install these principles in your life, or if you're a high level entrepreneur, you're already there and you want that transformation in your life, then join Fulfillment Elite and apply for that program. Each program is you have to apply for to see how we can serve you. But no matter where you are, we have resources for you. Also, check out my community. If you're at a place right now where you're like, Coach, I just need a community. I need a place where I can really just work on me. I want to work on my life so that my life can work for me. And you want to be a part of a community where you can work on your singleness. You can actually work on becoming better in your singleness to maximize it. Or if you really would just want to work on all your relationships, whether with God, yourself, I have community called LifeWork Communities. LifeWork is a community. It's my coaching program, education coaching program. But it's also a community for people that says, I want a place where I'm surrounded by other doers, other people who's growing in their life, growing in a relationship with God, growing in a relationship with themselves, growing in a relationship with others. Now, you want to be a part of a community, check out my LifeWork Communities right now. All on my website, mycoachjosh.com. Other resources that I have, like another book, If You Struggle With A Soul Tie. This book, The Purpose of Freedom, is a good book. If you want to better discern and test what's in front of you to make sure you tapped in what God has for you, check out this book, Counterfeit or Counterpart. If you really struggle with your feelings and it's hard for you to get to fulfilling your purpose, then check out this book, Facts or Feelings. It's a feelings journal where you're able to vent your feelings so that you can get back to fulfilling your role as a mother, as a wife, as a husband, as a father, as an entrepreneur, as a minister, whatever it is. If you want to better hold things in your life and you want a journal to help you better understand wholeness and how to patch those holes in your life, then here's a great resource for you called the Wholeness Journal. If you're single right now and you're like, man, Coach, I want to maximize my singleness, man. I want to better understand the purpose of my singleness. Then this book, The Purpose of Singleness, would be a great resource for you. If you're in a dating relationship or if not, here's a great resource for those, for number one, for those who are not dating anybody, this book right here would be a great resource for you to be able to determine your non-negotiables, for you to be able to prepare yourself for a dating relationship. If you're dating someone right now, man, these have some real solid questions, including with my card game, dating prep, whether you should go in this relationship, slow down this relationship, whoa, we need to stop this relationship, or you know what, I done heard enough, no to this relationship, then this is a great resource for you to be able to make sure that you marry the right one. And if you marry, some great dateable questions to keep the fire going in your marriage. If you have a young person, third grade and up, and you want them to start their art early and be about their father's business early, then check out this book, As He Says. It's my cartoons, my wife and I cartoons. It was a book made for public school, but if you know the word, you know the word is in it. But it's a great resource to help your kids start early in their art. And if you struggle with spiritual warfare, this book, World War Me, will be a great resource for you, helping you overcome the war within and the wars against you. This actually will be a great book for those who need help in this video particularly, because you'll be able to understand how to spiritually war and how to put on the whole armor of God. Also, check out my first book, Unplugged, the top things we need to unplug from to stay vibrant in the things of God. Card games, like whole 5 card games on my website. Check all that stuff out there now. Saturday, I got a little bit more time. That's why I went long. But check all those card games. We appreciate your generosity in advance. We appreciate your support in advance. If you just was touched by this video and you just feel led, you can do that as well if you want to give in that regard. But whoever, all those people getting books, card games, all that stuff, we appreciate you in advance for supporting what we do as we support what God wants to do in your life. I love you all. Catch y'all next time. And see if anybody in the last chat. That's it. I got to go. Love y'all. They said vision boards are demonic. Then I don't know what vision they have. You got to have some type of vision. Now, if you're doing anything, could be demonic. If you do it demonically with the wrong heart, it could be infused demonically, right? But it's not demonic doing a vision board. I don't got no demons in my life because of a vision board. Ouija board, maybe, but not a vision board. Love y'all. Y'all be blessed. Catch y'all next time.